Welcome to Mind Walk.
He think he's bad and ain't got no class. I'm gonna rock this shotgun up his motherfucking ass. Shit is this? With me, you no business born insecure motherfuckers.
Afghanistan provided safe haven.
Motherfuckers.
That's where they trained. That's where they plotted. That's where they planned. The attacks that killed thousands of innocent Americans. I also saw a threat in Iraq.
Motherfuckers. Oh, shit. What the hell did that rat suit eat? Motherfucker won't with me.
I was hoping to solve this problem diplomatically.
He think he's bad and ain't got no class. I'm gonna rock this shotgun up his motherfucking ass.
And the world said, disarm, disclose, or face serious consequences. And therefore, we worked with the world. We worked to make sure that Saddam Hussein heard the message of the world. And when he chose to deny his weapons, when he chose then I had a difficult decision to make.
Motherfucker!
And we did, and the world is safer for it.
We better all hope nothing happens to Harlan Specter, the Republican head of the Senate Judiciary Committee, because he might be all that's standing between us and a full-blown dictatorship in this country. He's vowed to question these phone company executives about volunteering to provide the government with my telephone records and yours and tens of millions of other Americans. Shortly after 9/11, AT&T, Verizon, and Bell South began providing the super-secret NSA with information on phone calls of millions of our citizens. All part of a war on terror, President Bush said.
I don't need to introduce myself, but my name is Chili B. And I'm a surefire, pure-blooded, bonafide, hot-fucking jam on production MC. If you want the best, then put me to the test, and I'm sure you'll soon agree that I got no flaws, cause I'm down by law when it comes to rocking viciously, you see. Cause of when I was a little baby boy, my mama gave me a brand new toy. Two turntables with a mic, and I learned to rock like a Dolomite. Time went by on this God creation. I knew someday I would rock the nation. So I made up my mind just what to do. And I joined with the Jam on production crew. So go crazy, go crazy. Don't let your body be lazy. I said, don't stop the body rock till your eyesight starts to get hazy. Clean out your ears and you open your eye. If you want to hear the music, just come alive. If you don't know how, get ready to learn. Cause Cosmo's taking his turn to burn.
Take a C and O in a C. Then you add M-O and a freaking D. Add a funky beat and little, what do you see? It's Cosmo D. Yeah, baby, that's me. I've got the beat, but that's oh so sweet. Without me rocking, it's incomplete. So rock this, yo. Rock that, yo. Rock on and don't you dare stop. You rock this, rock that, and that's a fact. Cause the Jam on crew will rock your body right back. Rock the steam up a motor ride off the track. And the whole wide world of funk attack. To the beat, yo, get down. Let me rock it to the rhythm of the funky sound. From here.
President rushed out this morning in the wake of this front page story in USA Today and declared the government's doing nothing wrong and all this is just fine. Is it legal? Then why did the Justice Department suddenly drop its investigation of the warrantless spying on citizens? Because the NSA said Justice Department lawyers didn't have the necessary security clearance to do the investigation. Read that sentence again. A secret government agency has told our Justice Department that it's not allowed to investigate it. And the Justice Department just says okay and drops the whole thing. We're in some serious trouble here, boys and girls. Here's the question. Does it concern you that your phone company may be voluntarily providing your phone records to the government without your knowledge or your permission? If it doesn't, it sure as hell ought to. Email us your thoughts at CafferTyFile@CNN.com or go to CNN.com/CafferTyFile.
Lord, help us get out of here, all right? Everyone okay so far?
Oh, shit.
You're fucking done yet, heal.
Hey. Please help us get out of here, all right? Please, Lord. Pass. Hope everyone will be okay. Praise me.
Oh.
Lord, please let it pass. Let's all be okay. Let's all go home safely, Lord.
Oh, shit! Holy shit!
Hey, chill. Lord, please let it stop. Please let it stop. Oh. Shit. Oh, God, don't let the next one be any closer. Just let him stop, Lord.
Holy! Yahweh!
Are you okay?
Lord,
please let it pass. Please let it pass.
Yahweh! Listen to me!
Relax, dude. Someone's gonna think you
fucking hurt.
Please let it pass, Lord. Let him stop, Lord.
Disapproval numbers now rivaling Richard Nixon's. Mr. Bush still nominated for his new CIA chief, a man almost guaranteed to draw a confirmation fight. General Michael Hayden, creator of the domestic eavesdropping program. Mr. Bush says General Hayden is perfect for the CIA and perhaps he was chosen for elevation despite or because of a characteristic that is normally seen as a liability, his arguable willingness to thumb his nose at constitutional law. That notion has been suggested by the noted professor in that subject, Jonathan Turley, who will join us presently. Mr. Turley likens the Bush team, in fact, to the Sopranos at the end of his piece, Get Criminal and Get Made. He cites other administration officials whose criminal acts or potentially criminal behavior that posed no barrier to advancement, like Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez, who as White House counsel may well have been the architect of the kinds of torture, at least the legal ease for the torture, that led to the Abu Ghraib abuses. As promised, we're joined now by the professor of constitutional law at George Washington University, Jonathan Turley. Thanks again for your time, sir.
Thanks, Keith.
Your joke about the Sopranos in the Chicago Tribune piece, timely telling, it'll fire up everybody on both sides, but the argument beneath it is dead serious. From the point of the view of the Constitution, the point of the view of the law of the land, what are you seeing here?
Well, you know, this is a pretty impressive rogues gallery. You know, from his very first term, Bush shocked many people by reaching out to officials who had either been convicted or pleaded guilty to crimes during the Reagan and Bush administrations, and others who many felt should have been indicted. They included people like Elliot Abrams, who pleaded guilty to three crimes. They were misdemeanors. John Poindexter, who was convicted of three crimes. Those were thrown out on a mere technicality later. You had Otto Reich, who was accused of a domestic surveillance propaganda program. You have a very long list of people, and what emerged through the two terms was that people who seemed to be accused of violating the law had a rapid ascent in this administration. And one has to wonder whether this is suddenly a criteria that the president likes people who are willing to go to the edge of the law and beyond it to achieve what he believes is a worthy purpose.
If it's personnel decisions or if it's a president signing a statement relating to a law that basically says I'm not going to obey this law if I don't feel like it, or if it's something larger, more aggressive, domestic surveillance or any of these other things, where are the constitutional checks? Is that machinery still present? Is it still working? Is it rusted or is it not working at all?
Well, it's not working very well. Many federal judges have, in fact, really brought the Bush administration up to the bar of the court, and they have, in fact, rejected many of the arguments, including the Supreme Court of the United States. But the real check and balance for this type of thing rests with Congress, and Congress has done nothing. Do you realize that Congress has not even held a substantive investigation of the NSA operation, an operation that most of us believe was criminal, that the federal law defines quite clearly as a federal crime? Now, instead of investigating that, the Congress actually gave the president a standing ovation during the State of the Union speech when he promised to continue to violate that law, he said he would continue this program. And the people who were responsible for passing the law that he was violating gave him a standing ovation. It was the most bizarre thing I've ever seen in my life. But now we have the architect of that program who's been nominated to head the CIA. Now, that was not a natural choice, because if you look at his record, it was actually fairly mixed. We're talking about General Hayden. Mm-hmm. General Hayden's accused of wasting as much as $2 billion when he was at the NSA on a program called Trailblazer. Almost $2 billion. Normally that would be an impediment to advancement.
I'm surprised you didn't get Secretary of the Treasury. The wartime argument that always comes back in these kind of debates about presidential powers. What's the history on that in terms of the Constitution and the presidents? Have presidents who have been seen to have stretched the Constitution, have they been investigated in wartime, even under the much stricter definitions of wartime we used to have?
Well, first of all, this president's theory of his power is now, I think, so extreme that it's unprecedented. He believes that he has the inherent authority to violate federal law. He has said that, not just in signing statements, in the infamous torture memo that Alberto Gonzalez signed. It was stated that he could, in some circumstances, order federal officials to violate federal law. And this is consistent across the board with this president. Frankly, I'm not too sure what he thought he was swearing to when he took the oath of office to uphold the Constitution and our laws. I've never seen a president who's so uncomfortable in his constitutional skin.
All of this, Jonathan, has been likened to the swing of a pendulum, that this is Vice President Cheney, Defense Secretary Rumsfeld, harkening back to their days as rookies in the Ford administration, watching the fallout of presidential powers being cut back after the abuses of Richard Nixon. If that's true, if it is a pendulum, does the pendulum swing back? Can it? Will it?
Well, unfortunately, civil liberties don't swing back like other issues. Civil liberties is a very precious commodity. When you lose them, it tends to run out of your hand like sand, and it's hard to get it back. And that's one of the dangers here, that presidents, when they acquire power, rarely return it to the people. And so we have to be very concerned. This country is changing in a very significant way. And it's something that citizens have to think about, because if there is a war on terror, and I believe that we must fight terror, obviously, but we're trying to defend that Constitution. And we're really at a point where the president is arguing about his own presidential power in ways that are in the antithesis of that Constitution and the values that it contains.
As you notice, it dips in the middle, falls straight down, and very rapidly. And that's B, World Trade Center 7. Building 7 was never hit by a plane. No plane hit Building 7. It collapsed straight down into a tight rubble pile. In fact, engineers were baffled over the collapse of this building. I didn't see it on the day of September 11th. When I first saw it, though, I thought, this is very strange. I mean, that building should collapse straight down and rapidly. It's not nutty to say, let's get that straight, that this looks like it could be controlled demolition due to explosives. Explosives. Done by explosives. Explosives. Controlled demolition. Experts said that no building like it, a modern steel reinforced high-rise, none, had ever collapsed because of uncontrolled fire before. So they're trying to figure out what happened. Fire and the structural damage. This is now Professor Barnett, Massachusetts. Fire and the structural damage would not explain the steel members in the debris pile that appear to have been partly evaporated. Now that takes a very high temperature to evaporate steel. Partly evaporated. Building 7, it does fall symmetrically and nearly straight down. Building 7, it does fall onto its own footprint. They said that they would give the fullest possible account of the events surrounding 9/11. But they didn't even mention the collapse of Building 7. Building 7. Over here we have a large, as you see, a high rise in Madrid, Spain, last year that burned. It was an inferno for about 24 hours. It did not collapse. And indeed, there has been no example, at least none before 9/11, 2001, where fire has caused a building to collapse completely. So this is A, but that is in fact the official explanation of the collapse of Building 7, that it was due to fire.
Thank you. This has been Mind Walk, an Upstart Radio production.